The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage, because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. Today's guest is a repeat guest who, anytime he's on the show, people kind of pay attention and listen, and I always get some great feedback on it. I'm quite certain if he came on every week on the show, it would double my views, so I'm just gonna throw that pitch out there. But I think it'd be hard to get on his calendar to talk to him every week. But Chris Earle, you guys know him, you love him. He's with CK6 Consulting. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Amanda. I appreciate it. That's way too much. I don't have enough interesting stuff to say every week, so I guarantee you that much.
Well, I always figure we get into some interesting conversations, and I'm like, if we were only recording this, this would be great stuff. So, full disclosure,
probably be unemployed at that point. So, both of us.
Probably. Well, we didn't have a plan for today's show, although I'm sure we could take this in a lot of different directions. But just to kind of bring you guys up to speed, if you're not familiar with my work with CK6. So CK6 Consulting has a purebred Angus specialization. They've done about $200 million in sales here in the last 5.5 years, and no intentions of slowing down anytime soon. Chris is the founder, him and his wife Krista. They've got 6 kids. They run Reverse Rocking Our Ranch there in beautiful New Mexico. And Chris and I met a couple years ago when I was kind of in a career transition phase, leaving Beef Magazine and trying to find my place in the world. And quite frankly, it's been quite a blessing to land in the CK6 corner, not only because I love working with the genetics and meeting the people and the families and the work that we do, but because it has emboldened me and given me some great confidence to continue to fight for farming and ranching families. And the reason I say that is because Chris Earle is one of those people that just constantly reminds me to pay the cost for telling the truth and to just stick with it. Chris, I kind of thought that maybe we could talk a little bit about faith and sincerity of purpose in the cattle business today. And I know that's a cornerstone of your life. And you had told me early on when we had first met that, you know, at the end of your life, it's not going to be cattle that you think about. It's going to be, you know, who you've impacted, what you've done for Christ. And I guess I'd like to hear more about that, because it's kind of a rare thing anymore. People keep their faith to Sundays, and then the rest of the week, it's like we focus on business. It's like a separate thing. But how have you incorporated your faith into everything you do?
Well, first of all, Amanda, look, I'm the biggest sinner I know, okay? I want to start there. You know, the stuff I don't do and the stuff I do, you know, I have everyday regrets, or most days that I try and recover from, you know, through the witness of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's one thing I've never tried to do, and that is change the truths that I believe he left St. Peter. And those, really, the last 2 years of his life are really my personal life and my business, which, you know, I don't separate. And, you know, so they guide my judgments. They guide my judgments on everything I do. I fail at them on a regular basis, but I try and recover. I try and get back up. I try and confess. And I try and do what the Holy Spirit on a regular basis that I feel on my shoulder tells me to do. And that is including, you know, paying the cost for what I believe. I think for the people that know me or follow, you know, kind of CK6 and Bit on Beef and those kind of things, reverse Rocking R, I'm not ashamed of being a son of God. And I think I have an obligation to speak his truths and to witness to what are sometimes very difficult paths of life to follow. And because people don't like it, people are intimidated by the truth. People not intimidated by Chris Earle, not intimidated by anything that I do, but when you voice and speak, you know, some of the hard truths that Christ left his people, it's triggering. It can be very hurtful at times to people that are, you know, embroiled in the humanism of life. And that can be me too. So, you know, those things can impact you and change you and that kind of thing. And look, I brought it to my cattle business. I brought it to my ranch. I brought it to my personal life. No question. I've had a lot of people, you know, over the years that have tried to guide me away from that. I've had a lot of people that, you know, maybe face to face or maybe not face to face, that have said, you know, Chris is using his faith to sell cattle or sell his business or something like that. And, you know, they might be partially right, but I look at it the other way around, to sell the purpose of Jesus Christ. And that is, I can only do that by having a relationship with people. And that's what my full intent of life is. My full intent of life is not to go down as a consultant, as a owner of a meat company platform, or as an owner of a ranch, or as a breeder. That's not my intent in life. My intent in life is to live fullest to what I believe Jesus Christ put me here to do, and that was to spread his message of love, joy, and redemption, and that I can be a vehicle, so when I have to be at his feet someday, and I will be, and knowing my answers are not going to be good enough, but that I can look back on my life and know I tried. I gave it my best shot, and to be able hopefully to say, was it good enough? So That's my intent.
And it's been really helpful for me because I started sharing more and more of my faith here in the last several years. And I would have people tell me, Amanda, you're not going to get invited for speeches. There's, you know, you're going to alienate people. It was like, it was more important to these people that I was popular and liked and well-known and getting clicks on the algorithm than it was for me to speak the truth that's dictated by my faith and devotion to Jesus Christ. And yet I found almost the opposite thing has happened. I mean, sure, there's been opportunities that have been taken away. There's been people that haven't wanted to work with me. There's been people that have been, you know, it's off-putting to them when you start talking about your faith. But on the flip side, I'm getting more speech invites than I've ever gotten. I'm connecting with people in a way that I haven't before, on a real level, not a superficial level. And the Lord just continues to bless and guide my life and bring people into my life like you and Krista that gives you that affirmation of you're on the right path. And in agriculture especially, I've noticed a theme with, you know, corporate agriculture and these conventions I go to. It's like they don't want to talk about that at all, but yet the members, the attendees, the families, there is no way that you can do production agriculture without faith. This thing is too hard. It is too hard. There's too much suffering in it unless you have faith. Do you think about that, like when you're out running on the desert taking care of cattle?
There's no question, Amanda. I mean, and it's one reason that you and I and a lot of people out there have had a very pro-producer stance, is that we see that this way of life impacts people through the message of Jesus Christ, because it has people. I mean, that's who is in the middle of rural America. You know, where a corporation is soulless. Mm-hmm. Chris Earle is not soulless. I have a soul. I want to impact my soul, and I want to impact my soul by helping great people. And When efficiencies and dollars and all those things become greater than the people, we have a problem. We have a problem. And That is, for me, where strength or whatever you want to call it, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't allow me to keep my mouth shut when I see people impacted by a machine that is focused on margins, that is focused on look, I got nothing against profit. I'm a capitalist, Amanda. I'm as competitive as anybody. But when the profit's good enough, it's good enough. But when the sole focus is to come in and make more, and the way you make more is by displacing a way of life that brings people the commitment and the sacrifice of making the earth from grass to protein, when you start impacting that people, then Chris Earl would like to be in the way of that, simply. And if I lose it all because of it, well, that's really what Jesus Christ wants me to do. He wants me to lose it all for him. So as people like warn me, threaten me, tell me, what they don't really understand is my intent is if sticking to what I believe the Holy Spirit speaks in my ear on a daily basis is to lose it all, then I'll lose it all. I'll lose it all because I know my reward for that will be greater than anything in my bank account, anything in my pastures, anything anywhere. My reward will be great, will be greater because I held Jesus Christ higher than anything. And that's my goal.
That really gets to be a challenge in agriculture when your ranch or your business becomes your idol or it becomes your identity instead of your identity in Christ. It starts to skew things a lot. I think, you know, it's so funny. I feel like we have to like roll it back a bit because we went from like 0 to 100 real fast. Like no even intro.
We never do that.
Yeah. People are probably like, what are these two even talking about? But let's give a real world example of this. One example I know we've talked about in the past is like the Green New Deal, the humanism or the anti-human movement of really dialing down people, not into made in the image of God, but into their emissions. And it's starting with cattle, but it's going to people too. And I think it's one of the things I get pretty fired up about. I mean, people know I'm pretty embattled right now in a carbon pipeline fight that's happening in my backyard. But the reason for that, and I've said this in speeches in my backyard with in front of friends and neighbors, is because number one, the Green New Deal is based on the premise of a lie that our emissions are somehow a problem and that every burger we eat and every gallon of gas we put in our vehicles should be giving us a score. Well, the only way you're net zero is if you're dead, and God promotes life. Life is what humanity is all about. So it's based on the premise of a lie. You're not caring for your neighbor when you're reducing them to an emission so you can get a profit. And really, it's these big corporations coming in and saying, I'm going to use taxpayer dollars to enrich myself, and I'm perfectly fine with pushing families off the land. And I guess speak to, you could probably give a different perspective, but on this whole emissions thing, on this whole Green New Deal thing, how do you look at it from the lens of faith?
It's the greatest fraud perpetuated on mankind ever.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how I see it. Its roots, its derivatives come from population control. And that is anti-life. And it is a godless, it is a vanity, especially for people, I think, in rural America. As you deal with days, most days in rural America are days you have zero control over by the weather. You have zero control. And you know you do. But to think that you can limit or that we impact what God has created in Earth in multi-galaxies, multi-whatever, and we've got this small little blue planet that's nurturing and growing souls. To think that he would allow or give us the impact to make an impact on the atmosphere is laughable to me. We still find fish we didn't know existed, Amanda. I mean, this thing, I mean, I live next to a mountain that at some point popped out of the earth at how many hundreds of degrees and created itself. And do people think those days are over? I mean, do they think that can never happen to us? I mean, do you think, because look at the poor people in the East, right? You build a house along a river that hasn't overrun for 50 or 100 years, and you build communities and you build towns. And guess what happens next? So much rain falls that it takes everything away. I mean, so to think that we could impact a atmosphere that adjusts to itself. I always point back to, remember when the oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico? And remember the news? The news was like, oh, there's oil underneath the water that are going to ruin beaches for decades that are going to mm-hmm. kill fish. You know what the ocean did to those oil plumes? Ate them alive.
Yeah.
Dissolved them. Mm-hmm. That's God's way. That's not man's way. And I think all the time, this always comes to me, and it's his ways are not our ways, and you fall a distant second to his ways. And that's how I look mm-hmm. at this fraud that is basically reaching into rural America to try and gain control from people that walk into an office compared to people that walk into a barn. And that's all it is. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And it's based in population control. I don't look halfway up the tree, man. I don't look at the fruit. I look at the roots. And this movement has evil roots.
It does. It does. And I think half of the people pushing this are admitting it, that they know it's not going to improve the environment, that burying carbon or whatever other, initiatives they can come up with, it really has nothing to do with the environment. And it does. It has everything to do with control, controlling the food, controlling the land, controlling the people. And that's been really my push.
And you've seen that in the environmental movement, no different in the beef movement, no different in that kind of thing. So when this thing gets rolling, right, then there's really good people that get put in a position of, do I fight it or do I go along with it, mm-hmm. right? But for some reason, as we go along in life here, we get really good people that will, in turn, in order not to rock the boat, in order not to sacrifice for maybe what they believe, will take the comfortable route, even if they don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. And that is a troubling, and that's why we've gotten to where four people own 85% of the cattle that are processed in the country. We have very few people that'll stand against that. Most people want to find their way in there. How can I still make a dollar? How can I still, get a Friday paycheck from this system? Even though I know it's not a system that will add to America, they find themselves in a very tough position. And then they choose, in order to play along, or they choose to fight it and go do something else. And it just so happens, my parents instilled to me that I don't let a bully cross my face. I just don't. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think a lot of this stuff is at. At some point, somebody has to stand up and say, not today. And, mm-hmm. So I hope those kind of people are growing and not going away.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at CK6Consulting.com and CK6Source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
It's a good mix. I mean, I speak on the road all the time talking about the devil being in the details of these things, and good, strong men and women need to say enough is enough. This is ridiculous. We're not going to go that way. And yet that's the way of the associations and a lot of the organizations are going. They're bending the knee to what I believe is a pagan religion. And it's the ESG scores, your environmental social governance. It's the DEI. It's all of these metrics that have nothing to do with being a good steward of the land and the livestock and serving people. And yet the brainwashing, starting from a very young age, even in our public school system, is telling people this is the way. I recently heard he was a CEO of an ethanol plant that said to me and other ranchers, he's like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to ignore the market signals that are telling you need carbon neutral beef? Are you going to be like Blockbuster and be a dinosaur because you refuse to answer what the consumer wants? To which I would say the consumer doesn't want this, but the government, carried by the media, is telling people that's the way. I mean, you and I, we're running this great platform, Bid on Beef. We have not once been asked by someone, is this a carbon neutral hamburger? You know what they're asking? Is it high quality? Can I trust the family? Is this a good product? Is it flavorful, tender? Does it marble? Can you ship it to me? I mean, at a base level, people want food they can trust, that's nutritious, that tastes good, period. And we're getting so far away from that. But frankly, it's because of our government. It's because of these initiatives. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, look, these people that have got to these high levels that communicate this are really good at it, Amanda. I mean, they're really good communicators. They know leverage. They know how to align the long arm of the government. Look, there's no more desired building in the country than the Treasury building in Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of people that know how to tap that thing. I'm not sitting here pigeonholing people. I know people are with tough choices in life.
Yeah.
Tough choices to make. But I think people have to realize there's a cost to every choice. And when you make a choice in business, it does impact other people. Mm-hmm. And you can't be appalled, or you can't be, you know, laugh off or whatever when people have an opinion. And that, for me, that's all I want. I've run in the minority most of my life, Amanda. I just want the debate. I just want the debate. I saw something on Facebook the other day, you know, where they're calling really now for all these beef organizations to get together, and I'm all for it. Let's get to the debate. And, you know, we got to coincide around some issues, but the bottom line is there is only one issue. Mm-hmm. Everything else we can try and fix. But until four don't own 85, you know what? There's not a lot there. There's not a lot there. It impacts every part. When you don't have a true market, when there is not a contending bidder, then you don't have a true market.
Right.
That's just the market and the auction process and those things bring stability to the market, because people look at it and they say, look at all the people bidding, right? Look at all the people that desire that. That brings a true market. That brings people confidence. But when people can only look at special deals, when that's all they see from their ranch, when that's all they see from their hills, that doesn't instill confidence. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people exiting this business, as you quote many times, tells you these people don't have confidence. And these are the people that have the financial risk, own the land, and have done this and are really the base level of where the cows need to run. The cow is the factory. We cannot create beef without a cow. And cows are simply the only one right now, the only bastion of individualism, because you can't dry lot cows. You can't. It's impossible. It's not a model that works, that'll raise enough beef. So it's an interesting time. I don't know where all this is going to go. I'm going to fight for producers and entrepreneurs, and I think those boys and farmers, and I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to go down swinging, because I will not capitulate to the corporate model. Just won't do it.
I really genuinely believe one of the last free demographics, independent, sovereign demographics of people in this country is the American cattle rancher. And we have a few distinct choices. And I don't know if any of the associations really ever agree with me, because they see the industry in different ways. But for me, I hear from, you know, one side seems to want to capitulate and go along to get along, even if that's at the demise of the small and mid-sized family farm and ranch. But the other side wants to fight all the time, but then not ever really take ownership of the result. I could go to DC every day of the week and fight with Congress and get nothing done. And what I've said in the past to these guys is, yeah, we can still work on political solutions, because Lord knows we need to bust up the monopoly. We need to hold Brazil and other countries to the same standards that we have to play by as they're importing this beef and labeling it as product of the USA. We need to close those loopholes. But in the meantime, what is your choice? Is it to go broke? Is it to quit and sell out? Or is there another way? And that's why I like CK6, and I appreciate your vision for life, Chris, because you're not really the one that's going to sit on the sidelines and just wait for someone to come save you. It's get out there and go determine your own destiny. And if that means stepping outside of a broken system and doing something else, that's what you help your clients to do. So I'd like to you to speak a little bit on that mindset of you see all these problems, but somehow you're always still optimistic. What keeps you optimistic, and what do you think might help producers that are maybe kind of uncertain right now?
Well, I'm always optimistic because I only have one life. There's nothing past this, Amanda. So I, you know, as I look back, I could be dead tomorrow. You know, as I'm driving here talking to you on a podcast, my tire could go out and I could hit a tree, right? So yep. I want every ounce of life to be on his behalf. And that is, you know, I have to keep, I mean, probably nothing gets me more excited than getting down, mm-hmm. than losing, than failing. Nothing mm-hmm. gets me more revved up to get up and go to the next moment than that. You know, mm-hmm. look, I love the successes that I've been part of, but nothing drives me more than my failures. And I fail, you know, on a weekly basis, maybe a daily basis. I mean, there's a lot of things I fail, but those drive me because I'm not sitting there. I know I didn't do a good job. I know I didn't give all. So it drives me in. And I think that for me, you know, as odd as it sounds, I find a lot of joy in that. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of joy in that I'm picking myself up and we're going to the next challenge. And that's what I want my family to see. That's what I want my grandkids to witness, my clients, all that stuff is, look, I'm not going to let anybody except Jesus Christ and Mrs. Earl tell me what to do on a daily basis. I'm going to be a entrepreneur. I'm going to find a way, and we're going to win at the end of the day. That's what we're going to do. And if there's anything, like you opened the segment with that, that in rural America, in our type of climate, in our type of marketplace right now, you have to be glass 99% full. You have to be, or this thing will eat you alive. I see people exit this business every day. And it's because this business has broken them down to glass half empty. And this is a very challenging way of life to attack. So, you know, you mentioned Bid on Beef. You mentioned we've done a lot of marketing things. There's always a way. And I'm not saying that we're not in a poor marketing situation because of the monopolization and as it trickles down through the cow herd and the market, but there is ways around it, because if you believe in people, if you believe in your product, I think you can marry those two together, and there's always a way to, they may not change the society, but change your circumstance and the people you love's circumstance. And I think that's what we stay focused on. I think that's what we do good at. And you know, until I exit this way of life, that's the way we're going to be.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the Deluxe Chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt Minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
I think that's really been the most rewarding part of CK6 and Bid on Beef is being able to be a part and help other people. And quite frankly, like, we're both in the thick of it in the cattle business ourselves, so it's relatable. Like, it's nothing we haven't gone through ourselves. But the Bid on Beef thing, you know, talking about building something, I had to smile because as you're talking about failure, you know, I think from the outside looking in, people see it. It's been a wild success so far by every metric. I mean, we're just reaching benchmarks we never thought possible at a pace that's just beyond our wildest dreams. And yet, basically all of 24, we've been taking it on the chin, getting punched in the face, knocked down, figuring out every way that this platform can't work, won't work, the website's down. But I think the secret to success has been every day we get back up and say, we're going to fix this. There is no such thing as a wall. It's just a pivot and go in another, keep going, keep learning, fail fast and keep moving forward and learn from those mistakes. But probably one of the hardest parts for me on Bid on Beef is, Chris, we're pushing 200 people that have wanted to be on this platform. And the hardest part for me is turning families away that I feel maybe don't fit our metrics or are, you know, kind of the niche we fit. Because to me, it's quite evident that America's cattle producers are looking for an option. They are looking for marketing opportunities. And I am really proud to say Bid on Beef is one of those marketing opportunities. But could you kind of speak to how we're trying to serve people, both consumers and the producers, through this platform?
Yeah, no question. I think I'm with you. It's tough telling good people, having those conversations, right? That you know, as people look to want to be on the platform and want to be part of it, it's that honesty part is, you know, what can we really do for you? You know, we could take our percentage, but are we really going to help you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it goes back to when I was in seventh grade, man. I mean, I remember, and he looked down at me and said, "You're too small to play this game," and you know, from that point on, I wound up knowing I had to get better. I mean, I could have quit and found some, but I want to play in Division I football. And to this day, I always have that, you know, as man looks at that as maybe a bad thing today, that a coach would say that to a young kid, I actually look back on it, it was the best day of my life. Mm-hmm. Because it actually has spurred me on today to be a father, a husband, a grandpa, a friend, a son, and, you know, to be better, to get better. And I think, you know, so as we these people come into the beef thing and we have these talks and we are coming to them from a level of what I think is a level, I hope, of expertise in marketing a product to a consumer, is we're hopefully giving them an advice to maybe you're not ready quite yet.
Yep.
Maybe take a peek at some of these other operations that are really smoking it right now and doing a great job and become them, become their competitor. Mm-hmm. Competition heals everything. It mm-hmm. heals everything. And I think it's a must in the marketplace. We've built that into the platform. I love it from the consumer end. And we got a sale going on right now, Amanda. And I got to get on after we get off here because I got a golf outing with my college buddies this weekend. And of course, they're all looking to Chris Earle to bring the beef. So I got to buy beef tonight to get shipped there. So I got to compete for it, right? I mean, it's either I win tonight or my friends razz me for 3 days. So I got to win. So I don't think that's an unusual circumstance. And I want to be able to get a great product from great people, put it in the marketplace, and have both sides, both the people that offer it and the consumer, fight over it. And I think that's the American way.
Yeah, and I think what we've learned through consulting, both on the seed stock side, obviously, but also the Bid on Beef side, is that everybody's at a different spot in their beef cattle business. But I constantly tell people on the Bid on Beef side, treat it like your bull sale. What's going to make people want to buy from you? It's your story. It's your values. It's your product. It's the quality. It's the photos. It's the videos. And really, most importantly, I believe it's the relationships. So these ranchers on bidonbeef.com are making genuine connections and relationships with their customers. And they're buying much more than beef. Of course, the beef has to be top notch. But I believe they're buying like Texas Beef House. They're buying from the Duvals because they trust the Duvals. They've gotten to know the Duvals. So knowing that, if you're in the beef cattle business listening to this, your story, who you are as a human being, is more important than you know. And your ability to communicate that and connect with people you want to serve can be a profit driver for you. But what you're saying, it's 51% people, 49% genetics in this business?
Yep.
You see it over over again.
I see it over and over. I see it in the beef thing. And I look, there's a lot of people, there's thousands of people that I come across that would rather support people of like mind, right? Mm-hmm. That have the same products as Walmart or the same products as wherever, but they would rather pay more to support this way of lifestyle. You know, Steve Stratford, our friend, you know, support the people that support you. There's still a ton of people out there like that. And if you get a great experience, a great product in the middle of that, that is the key to running a good business. That's the key to marketing, sincerity and product. Sincerity and product, when you marry those two together, there is a large part of this country, that's how they grew up, that's what they know, that's what they want to support. And I think that's from our cattle on our beef side, to our genetic side, to our platform side, to our CK6 source on the bulls. That's the only way that I know how to advance in the marketing of it. And to marry those two, I think brings you a great clientele and it brings you a great customer base. And you just got to trust it. You got to take whatever it is. You got to pay the cost. You got to start, if it starts slow and ramp up, get better, you got to pay the cost. And I think that's where a lot of our clients are digging in on the beef thing. Man, we are watching some of our clients get better sale to sale, Amanda, and that's exciting. And I think that's exactly what needs, to happen.
I agree. You know, Chris, we're kind of running down on the time, but this will air before the election. And obviously the world is just kind of uncertain. I mean, we just had Hurricane Helene. We've got an economy that's not too hot. We've got really a division in this country over what the future direction of America should look like. And I'm seeing that kind of in the mentality. There's almost just a hesitancy in the agricultural community of like, we're just going to hold our breath and just kind of wait and see. But how are you approaching, I guess, the election in behind? It's just business as usual, I know. But what would you say to those folks that are just kind of like driving their decisions by fear?
So I think America was created with government as the secondary priority. The people are the priority. So, you know, the moment I start looking to government to solve my problems, Amanda, you might as well take me at that point. You know, I might as well hit the tree at that point, because that's not how I live my life. I've never been more hammered down than I am right now. I don't care who wins the election as it relates to my life. I do as it relates to the policies that will impact our country, but I don't care as it's going to affect me. My life is going to be my life when I get to the end. I'm not going to blame Kamala. I'm not going to blame Trump. I'm not going to blame my neighbor. I'm not going to blame whoever. I'm not going to blame JBS. I'm not going to blame Tyson. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to take full responsibility for my life. How that goes is how I impact it through my own efforts and my own responsibility. And not that I don't care about those other things, I do, but it sure doesn't impact how I'm going to live my life at all.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess to end on a positive note, what's happening with CK6? This will air mid-October. We've got a lot of great things coming up leading into the end of the year and kicking off 2025.
We're just trying to keep up with great people, Amanda. I mean, we got so many clients. We have from the cattle side to the beef side doing such great things, raising such fantastic cattle. We've got a tremendous market. We saw the early looks at what could be a fantastic bull season from California, just lights out. We're coming off some female sales where, you know, I tell people right now, and it's just the truth, we can probably sell a $25,000 to $50,000 donor quicker than we can sell a $2,500 heifer. The market is so excited about, you know, the progression of genetics and people and the market that they want to be part of it. And they want to enter through what they believe or what they're advised on is the best genetics out there. And they've taken the tools and the sciences and they think it's a way forward. And I think it is. There's some pitfalls there, no question, but there's some advancement. So it's exciting. I mean, there's new people getting in all the time. There's established people making great pivots on their program to still be relevant and still be desired in the market. So I'm fully excited about what's going to come up between now and next year. We've got a huge lineup of sales and great people and genetics just to see the cows that we have with our clients and we can give a little input on to help them be successful in the program. It's just exciting, Amanda. I don't know how else to say it. There's just, when you wake up in the morning and there's not enough hours in the day, you know, to cover all the conversations, what a great life. So we're just blessed. We're very, very, very blessed.
Absolutely.
CK6 just trying to keep up. We're just trying to keep up and we're just trying to be a small part of huge successes for great, great people. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's an honor of a lifetime, Chris, to be a part of it. And it's, like I said, it's been so rewarding. And you and I both probably have our fair share of haters, but I always just joke.
Hey, you can't love people. If you say you love people, you got to love the critics too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is. It's the yin and the yang of life, Amanda. We got plenty of people that pat us on the back at times. And, you know, to have those people that are also our critics, that keeps you humble, that keeps you fighting, that keeps you good. And that's all part of life. I'm blessed to be in a spot where I have critics. So
that's a good way of looking at it. And hopefully iron sharpens iron. And I truly believe when you surround yourself with really good people, it pushes you to become a better business owner, better wife, a better mother, better spouse, better parent, better cattleman. All those things. And so I think that's the best part of this industry for me is just the great people that I'm blessed to be able to meet on the road. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Chris, any parting words? I want to remind people that they can check out our sale calendar at ck6consulting.com. You can always place semen orders or get your certificates at ck6source.com. And then of course, bidonbeef.com. Every day it's changing and moving and growing with new ranching partners, new auction sales. It's never slowing down. So I'd encourage you guys to check those sites out and follow Chris and his platforms as well. Any parting words, Chris?
You know, I think as it relates to everything that we do, Amanda, we've always talked, we're all about the result, right? So I think as you look to the clients, look to those people and make your judgment there. And I think if you do that, I think it brings CK6 its best face. I think it brings Bid on Beef its best face. And because those are people there where the rubber meets the road in this business that are trying to make a way in the genetics business or the beef business that truly are sincere about their purpose. And if you can find any way to spread the word, to help these people as it relates to their effort, I think you will be rewarded for the advice that you give through either the genetic side or either the beef side. So I think look to the client and look to our people we serve. And I think you'll get your answers on CK6 and Bid on Beef.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for the time. Safe travels, and we'll see you at an upcoming auction.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. God bless you.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.